Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers Review on Ocean FM, and the trick now is not to panic. Yes, two defeats in a row since the mid-season break came to an end. Maybe it came at the wrong time, but there's no permanent damage done. Rovers still just 3 points off the top of the table. In a moment, we'll hear from Liam Buckley and get his assessment of what happened or didn't happen at Richmond Park in Inchicore on Friday night. Mark Rossiter will join us as well to look at Friday's game and the prospects for the trip to Ryan McBride Brandywell tomorrow night. But first, let's remind you of Inchicore Pats against Rovers on Friday.
They're approaching well here. St. Pat's ball in from this right hand side is from the boot of Billy King. Then Mountney goes in to try and get involved, but Robbie McCourt does well, but Rovers just not able to get out of their own edge of their area. Now it's going to spill on the edge there and in for Coughlin, spills away, but a chance on the far side, and there it is. It's an opening goal for Matty Smith. Well, it was a stained of period of pressure from St. Pat's, and eventually it works out for them, and it's the man on the left-hand side, Matty Smith, who finishes beyond Ed McGinty, and St. Pat's lead by a goal to nil.
Yeah, and it was just as he said, sustained pressure. You know, Moran had a chance to clear the ball at one stage. He tried to pass it out. It was dispossessed quite easily by Alfie Lewis, and you know, it was just a little bit of pressure breaks the Matty Smith there, and I don't think he actually hit it quite well, but you know, he wrong-footed Ed McGinty and it goes into the corner.
As Ronan Coughlin gets this one away, and Matty Smith is in on goal for Pats, looking for that second goal. Has he been fouled? He has. It's a penalty for St. Pat's. Well, it came from nothing, and Coughlin won the little break in the middle of the field, and then the foul comes on Matty Smith, who's already scored a goal. There's a yellow card out waiting for Greg Bulger here, who committed the foul. And well, just as we say, Sligo Rovers have played well in the second half, but Pat's now with the opportunity to double their advantage.
Yeah, look at it, and there it is. Like, they've done really well in the second half so far. Lewis Banks there at fault, and then, you know, John Mann tried to make a last-ditch tackle. He got booked for his tackle, even though Matty Smith went through, you know, sidesteps Greg, and, you know, Greg clips his heels, and Greg got booked as well. So you've got Coughlin now against McGinty, so hopefully McGinty has learned enough from playing with him for two seasons to be able to make a stop here.
Yeah, battle of wits here as McGinty up against his former teammate Coughlin. As Mark says, two seasons at the showgrounds, did so well for Liam Buckley in the last 2 years, but he steps up now looking to double Pat's advantage with 27 and a half minutes on the watch in the second half. It's Coughlin against McGinty, and Coughlin sends McGinty the wrong way down to the left hand side, and Pat's lead by 2-0.
And considering the Sligo have been on top for the last 10 minutes, that's going to be very deflating for them. You know, I still don't think they can get away from what they were doing. They were pressing really well and working really well in the second half, and you can see Cawley here is fuming. He's fuming there with Lewis Banks, because they were playing themselves really well into the game, and that's just, you know, that's just literally a kick in the stomach there for them. And, you know, I suppose here's your issue with your back four being consistent for such a season, and then, you know, Lewis Banks there with one mistake, and it's, yeah, 2-0.
And that's how it finished at Inchicore on Friday night. Pats 2, Rovers 0. So what should we read into that? Is it a blip or something a little more worrying? Here's the Rovers boss, Liam Buckley's assessment.
Giving two stupid goals away, you know, and in this league, if you give the first goal, it's very important. But look, we'd be pretty disappointed if we can do better.
The overall performance, is that a disappointment?
Well, I thought the second half wasn't too bad. We've given two super goals away. Like, even up to the first goal, there wasn't a lot in it, but I thought we were marginally the better, and then we've given a super goal away, and it's just unfortunate that we've done that. But anyway, look, it is what it is. You know, as I said to the boys, we're still at the top end of the table here. Not trying to baby out with the bathwater. There's going to be a whole lot of points dropped by different clubs, etc., etc. They had to win that tonight just to get level with us. So keep things in perspective. We're going all right. There's still a lot of football to be played, but we just need to pick ourselves up and get on with it.
Did you feel that first 20 minutes of the second half that you could have found an equaliser in that period when you dominated?
Yeah, we did for probably the first 20, half an hour. They had no chances, and we've given a stupid penalty away, which gives them a 2-0 lead. And they were comfortable, relatively comfortable. We changed it around a little bit more at the end just to see could we get something out of it. But listen, it wasn't to be. As I said before, we're not going to win every game this season. The bottom line is we've still got our ambitions to be at the top end of the table. That's where we're at this minute in time. But we need to sort of pick our form up a little bit and push on.
What needs to change from the last two losses now to the Derry City match on Monday to get a positive result?
We need to do better, especially in the final third, in the opposition half. We're not creating enough chances. We're not, in the second half we've done better here this evening. But we need to be more courageous on the ball, and getting passes forward, getting into people's feet, linking it in, and the patterns of play that we're talking about in training, etc., etc. Because that's what we're trying to build our season on.
Has the mid-season break stunted your momentum? Has that been an impact?
Not particularly, no. No, we've just done poorly in the last two games. The second half wasn't too disappointed. We're here this evening, but if we had a match up with the first half, I don't think we wouldn't have come out of here with a defeat, but we didn't, and we've given, I'd say, unfortunate goals away. Again, we just got to pick ourselves up for Monday and see where we go from there.
On the injury front, Robbie McCourt looked to have picked up a fairly serious looking knock. What's the nature of it? Can you tell us at this stage?
Yeah, he stood on the ball, and wherever he fell, he twisted his wrist. So we're not sure. He's gone to the hospital now. We're going to pop down to James now in a minute. We're not sure whether it's broken, fractured, dislocated, whatever. So we'll have to get x-rays and scan and see where we go from there.
And Gary Buckley?
Gary was struggling with a hamstring. He might be ready for Monday. If not, hopefully he'll be ready the following weekend.
And how big is that game now on Monday to get something from it?
Listen, we have ambitions like everybody else, like Pats and Bowes and Shamrock Rovers and everybody else for that matter. We have ambitions to try and be as best we can be. So no matter what, it's still only 3 points at the end of the day. And as I said to the boys, they've only got level to where we're at now at this minute in time. So listen, there's more than half a season to go. So a lot of football to be played. I'm delighted where we're at this minute in time, league table wise, but I just would like us playing better.
Liam Buckley, the Sligo Rovers manager, speaking to Cathal Mullany after the 2-0 defeat to St Pat's. Mark Rossiter will join us in a little while to look back on that game and assess the prospects for the trip to Brandywell this Monday night, a game you'll be able to hear on Ocean FM in full online on oceanfm.ie from 7:45. But right now, do you remember this guy?
Scominata! Scominato Marì! Chi mi sente che non te...
Could somebody pass the TCP, please? That was the sound of Icelandic soccer commentator Gumi Ben during Euro 2016. It's 5 years old now, when Iceland beat England 2-1. It's a famous piece of audio, and Sligo Rovers supporters are taking a new interest in Icelandic football following Tuesday's draw for the new Europa League conference. Rovers have drawn one of Iceland's preeminent teams in the first qualifying round. See how skillfully I'm avoiding having to pronounce their name. Instead, one of Iceland's best known football journalists, Kolbeinn Tumi, is going to do that for us. He's currently news editor with Iceland's most read news website, the Reykjavik Grapevine.
No problem. That would be, we say FH for FH, and FH stands for Fimleika Félag Hafnarfjarðar, which in English would translate to the gymnastic club of Hafnarfjörður, since the club started out as a gymnastic club, but today you could say they're both a dynasty in football and handball in Iceland, handball being our biggest sport.
Interesting. I'm guessing Sligo Rovers supporters will probably say that team from Iceland rather than try and pronounce the name, but there you go. So what should we know about this Icelandic team, Kolbeinn? What can you tell us about them?
Well, they're one of the big in Iceland for the last 20 years. They've established themselves as you could say a football dynasty. They came up from the B division in 2000, about 20 years ago, actually under the same coach as they have now. Again, he has returned, and they won the championship a few times in the early 2000s, and but haven't won it now for a few years. But they're always in the top three and regularly in the top two. They're in the town of Hafnarfjörður, which is the third biggest town in Iceland. It's part of the capital area. And they play in black and white at home and in blue away. And their form at the moment is quite bad. Their supporters are not very happy at the moment. They had a game last night, actually, against their neighboring rivals in Garðabær, another one of the big towns in Iceland. And they drew 1-1, which was... Well, better than their previous results, because they had lost three games in a row coming up to that match, and a bad run of form like that hasn't hit FH since, I think, for 15, 20 years. So their supporters are pretty unhappy, to say the least, at the moment.
Do you think they would see this European draw against Sligo Rovers as a good draw for them?
Yeah, definitely. I think when it comes to European draws, the Icelandic teams are usually very happy to get competition from the neighbouring countries, so to say. FH has a lot of experience with Europe. They've played many times against teams from Scotland and Ireland, and you basically want everything but a draw to go to someplace far away, you know, going to Kazakhstan or Azerbaijan, or with an expensive travel, and we don't have haven't had good results about teams from that area. So I think they definitely fancy themselves against Sligo coming up to this, and maybe something they consider, maybe the team can, you know, build something from that, considering that they're in terrible form at the moment.
Would they have some players who play internationally for Iceland?
Well, they have a guy, attacking winger, Jonathan, who has games under his belt for the U21s and could definitely make the step to the A team one day. He hasn't done it yet, but they have him. They have another guy who many feel should have played many more games for the national team. He's a Matthias Williamson. He returned to Iceland from Norway, where he played for many years for Rosenborg, and is a really good player. But he has kind of yet to hit the form that the FH supporters were expecting. FH also has the international goalkeeper for the Faroe Islands, so Gunnar Nielsen. He's a very solid goalkeeper. So they actually were expected to do pretty well this season, and they started off really well, won their first few games, and then they've been, as I said, not doing too well, not clicking, sure, in the last few games. They have a star striker as well in Scottish forward Stephen Lennon, who's from the Glasgow Rangers Academy. But there's just something not working at the moment, and the supporters are really calling out for some changes to be made.
Here in Ireland, Colbin, you'll know, we still have fresh memories of the Euros in 2016. Iceland became everybody else's second favourite team with your exploits. What did that do for Icelandic football at the time, and has it helped things since?
Well, one of the big changes is, like, we obviously have the European Championships going now in, all over Europe, 2021, and it's like, it's just not the same. You know, just a few years ago, we were just thinking, you know, Iceland will probably never make it to a final tournament. And then we made it to the Euros and then to the World Cup. So now it's like, you know, the Euros are going on, yes, but Iceland isn't even there. So now it's like, you know, we feel that we have a, you know, we feel we should be there. And therefore, the championship is less attractive compared to 2016. But 2016 kind of just made everybody believe it was definitely a high point after an unbelievable run in the qualifiers. We were really close to getting to the 2014 World Cup, actually just lost out in a playoff to Croatia. So 2016 and beating the English was just, because Icelandic people are, we're football fanatics, kind of like Norway with the Premier League, just for so many years, you know, many joke that the Premier League, English football, is the national sport of Iceland because of the interest.
Yeah.
So beating the English in Nice that night in 2016, unbelievable night, was definitely the highlight in Iceland's football history.
And it sounds, Corbin, that fans' expectations have grown as a result, that, you know, supporters now almost half expect the international team to qualify for the big tournaments.
Definitely. We're really close now. We lost out in a playoff to Hungary in the dying minutes. So we definitely have that expectation. We also realize that we have we've had a generation that is kind of going away bit by bit. So it's we've had a quite successful U21 team, but still the players that are playing on the team have not quite risen to the same to the same level that the guys who were leading the team to the 2016 and 2018 major championships had at the same time. So we're a bit skeptical and worried. We have a new coach with the national team, and things haven't been going quite so well. But there's still, there's so much more expectations now than there were. But also just believe, you could see it in the players in the U21s and in the A team, that, you know, they go for victory. They believe they can do amazing things. But then on the day, you know, it goes way one way or another.
Indeed. Well, listen, Cobain, we are looking forward to seeing how Sligo Rovers get on against F House in the Europa Conference League next month. I know you mentioned they wear black and white jerseys. They are very famous Sligo sporting colours, as it happens, while Sligo Rovers wear red and white. Our indigenous football game, Gaelic football, the colours of Sligo are black and white. So it sounds like there is a connection there already.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, this will be great. FA has played close to 50 European games in the past 20 years, so they're very used to being in Europe, and they've gotten close to getting to the group stages of the Europa League, and they're always waiting for that. They were so close. They just see the dollar sign getting to the group stages and become the biggest club in Iceland, because it's a game changer if you get to that stage. So they've gotten close, so they have some blood on their teeth, as we say in Iceland, and maybe the Sligo will unfortunately have to be the first bite in the way to get close to some European success.
Blood on their teeth. I like that. That is Icelandic football journalist Colben Toomey speaking to us following the Europa Conference League draw during the week. And news just in this evening of confirmation of the kickoff times for Rovers 2 Conference League first qualifying round games against F House. The away leg comes up first on Thursday, the 8th of July. It's at 7 o'clock Irish time, 7 in the evening, away to F House. And then the home leg is the following Thursday, the 15th, at the Showgrounds. And that game is going to have a 6 o'clock kickoff, a tea time kickoff for the return leg at the Showgrounds on Thursday, the 15th of July. Streaming and ticket details for the home game will be published, we hear, over the next week by the club. So more on that anon. Anyway, let's get back to the domestic matters. Mark Rossiter was part of the Ocean FM Sport commentary team at Inchicore on Friday night. He watched Pats 2, Rovers 0, and he's on the line from Dublin this evening, trying to see, if probably with one eye, if Wales will hold on to book a place in the last 16 of Euro 2020. There's still a goal down, Mark, are they?
They're a goal down, yeah, and Switzerland are beating Turkey, so at the minute they're going to finish third, but they can still qualify depending on how other groups go, you know. There's extra teams.
That's
extra
right.
Teams go through. So with 4 points, you'd assume that they should be fairly comfortable as long as their goal difference holds up, you know.
Yeah, well, they're a man down as well. So a nervy enough little last 15 minutes there for Wales at the moment. In Rome, we'll keep an eye on that for you. How nervy should we be, Mark Rossiter, about Sligo Rovers' dip in form when you put Friday night's loss together with the Drogheda game the weekend before?
You know what, Drogheda are a bit of an enigma. They're a hard-working team and, you know, some nights you can struggle against them and it's a difficult night. You know, Sligo had that last week. And then I suppose they went out and got hammered by Bowes, you know, the following game. With the two results, what you want is games coming thick and fast. And, you know, they've got a chance to right the wrongs, let's say, coming into the game on Monday against Derry. You know, like the game the other night, I suppose the only concern you'd have is they were outworked for the 90 minutes. They were pinned in a lot in the first half, didn't give the chance like Figuera and, you know, Mark Byrne and Jordan Gibson any chance to get near Romeo. So they got pinned in for long periods, and when they did have possession, it was all at the back, and it was nearly like as if, you know, King, Smith and Coughlin were probing nearly to allow them to pass the ball and then squeeze on a bad pass or a bad touch. Pats were very impressive in the first half. It was a difficult 45 for Sligo. They were looking into the sun. They were playing up the hill. It was just like as if everything went against them in the first half, you know.
One of the hallmarks of Rovers' strong start to the season was how solid they were at the back. You had that quartet of Horgan, Mahon, Buckley and McCourt. We had Liam Buckley, we heard from him earlier in his interview with Cathal Mullany. It's a hamstring injury which kept Gary Buckley out of Friday night's game, and it's not clear yet if he can play tomorrow night. But are we suddenly realising how much we depend on Gary Buckley at the back? And when you add in the Robbie McCourt injury on Friday night against Pats, we're still awaiting official word on the nature of that and how serious it is, but there's a bit of work there for Liam Buckley to do, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose look at over the course of a season, you know, the teams with the biggest budgets or the biggest squads, they're able to deal with this. And it's just unfortunate for Sligo. Like, they're with McGinty in the back four that was there. And, you know, you have to throw Lewis Banks in there. He's been really, really good when he played a right back as well. But they just, with Banks and Mahon the other night, there didn't seem to be the same cohesion. And, you know, you can't expect it either. You know, if he goes in and does a job for one game, let's say, you're like, oh, fair play. But, you know, if Buckley has a hamstring, it could be a, you know, if it's a niggle, he's not 21 years of age. So if he has a niggle, he has to mind it, because he is an experienced player for them. And himself and Mahon have probably been the best partnership as a centre-half partnership this year in the league. So, you know, like, even if it's a case that he misses the Derry game, it's about him getting right and, you know, being there for long periods of the season rather than rushing him, because you've had back-to-back defeats. There's no point in risking him for one game and losing him for six or seven, you know.
You saw improvement in the second half in terms of the way Rovers came after St. Pat's, and the momentum of the game seemed to be turning their way gradually up until the Coughlin penalty. What improved in the second half that should give us cause for encouragement?
It just seemed like they were 30 yards further forward up the pitch. They weren't defending, you know, their 18-yard box. They were applying pressure. It seemed like the gaps were a little bit closer, and the defence in midfield had pushed up as well with the front men. So you had Mark, like, they moved Figuera into the hole. They had Jordan Gibson on the right-hand side and Mark Byrne switched over to the left. And there was little periods of play where they got a couple of long diagonal balls from right to left and got Mark Byrne 1v1 with John Mountney. And, you know, like, they were starting to probe a little bit. And, you know, like, even though the last 2-0, both goals were avoidable as well. You know, that's, I suppose, the bad thing about it. There were, you know, a couple of mini mistakes for the first goal and for the second goal, and, you know, it resulted in them losing 2-0. But it wasn't as if Pats carved them open when they wanted. Pats were very intense, and, like, Forrester's legs gave out after 60 minutes and switched it. But that's what it seems to be. Their whole thing is, run yourself into the ground. If you're tired, we'll take you off. And there wasn't the same intensity from Sligo, which would be a worry, because regardless, you know, of who you're playing, you have to match teams who work great, and I don't think that Sligo did that the other night.
And now they've got Derry City tomorrow night, who have clearly steadied the ship since Rory Higgins took over. Raf Guitar is assisting him, of course. They beat Harps in Ballybuffet on Friday night 2-1. They clearly are a more difficult team to beat. And I think the last time they played Rovers was Rory Higgins' first game in charge, and they won at the Showgrounds. So that doesn't sound too straightforward.
Nah, look at it, in this league, to be honest, anybody could beat anybody. Nobody has ran away in any shape or form. So look at, you know, you come out, you're organised and you work hard, and there's a chances are you'll at least get a point. So, you know, with the quality that Gibson has shown in the first part of the season, Romeo, you had Johnny Kenny, who only played 10 minutes, say, the other night. They, you know, they've got players that can cause Derry problems. Because Derry are by no means a finished article either. They've moved away from the bottom of the table. And when Rory came in, you know, you hear him say that his job was to literally get away from the relegation area. So, you know, anything for them at this stage is a bonus. He's looking to build on it for seasons to come, let's say. But then they're going to lose Will Patchen in the next week or two. He'll go back to Dundalk as well. So, look, I don't think Sligo have anything to fear. People are calling it a blip. And, you know, it is a blip. Two games in a row isn't the end of the world. But to be honest, you know, if you asked Liam or any of the players, would they have taken where they are at the start of the season, they'd have like bit your hand off. So, you know, they need to get back to basics and, you know, work from there.
And we all knew there were going to be tests and bumps in the road along the way. This clearly is one of them now. Might it test what Sligo Rovers' strength in depth is like? And might it prompt Liam Buckley and Dave Campbell to have a look at the transfer market again in July?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it has to be done in the right way. You know, bringing players in mid-season doesn't always work as well. So, you know, it has to be in areas where they're looking, where they may need to strengthen, but it's somebody that's better. Don't be just signing players to make the squad bigger. If that's the case, just bring young players through if you can. If they can get the right player that suits, then absolutely. And you know, Liam will think that through thoroughly. Anyways, he doesn't make rash decisions in any shape or form. So, you know, any player that they'll look to bring in, they'll have gone through with a fine tooth comb. So, if it's right, then yeah, absolutely. But like with Robbie being out, Regan Donlan coming in, you know, he's a very capable player and has shown that in Sligo colours for years. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. But centre back is an issue. If you know, if Buckley is out or if John Mahon is out, you know, do they have a like player to come in? And to be honest, I don't think they do.
One final thought, Mark, on your former club. You played with St. Pat's once upon a time. Do you think they have the credentials to last the pace and be title contenders?
No. To be honest, I'd put them in the same boat as Sligo, where, you know, they're going really well. But, you know, still, when you look at Shamrock Rovers squad and then, you know, with Richie Towell coming in 2 weeks' time as well, I just think they've got too much for either Sligo or for St. Pat's to touch them at the minute. It gives them a great platform to build. If they finish in the top three, it gives them a great platform to build on it for next season. I just think at this moment in time, I think the resources the Shamrock Rovers have, they're by far and away they're the strongest squad in the league. So, and as well as that, they haven't really clicked yet. So if they do, I think it could be trouble for everyone.
Yeah, I forgot Richie Towell is coming to Tallaght Stadium in 2 weeks. You're cheering us up no end, Mark. Thanks for that.
I'm trying to be as real as I can. Look, to be fair, nobody be happier than me to see them, you know, win the league again. So, it's you know, they're punching above their weight in my eyes to where I thought they'd be. So, to be honest, I think they've been exceptional all year, and the performance that they put in Tallaght, they set the bar for themselves that night, and to be honest, they have to reach that all the time, and if they do, they'll you know, they'll push them close, but they didn't show that in the first two games after the break.
Okay. Mark Rossiter, thank you for that.
No, no worries. Anytime, boss.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rovers